Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses,
if you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place, we can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwen and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
Oh, yeah. I was seeing so many Dickersons in my head.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
And Chris Ello.
I'll tell you why you do not want to hesitate to put Patrick Holmes in your lineup, because I am playing against him.
Well, I don't know who Patrick Holmes is, so.
All right, next story.
Give me another non-story there, slugger.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
So third and 29 with 14 seconds left. Rudolph will dump it off to the left side. Trey Edmonds the catch. Sprints out of bounds. And a fight at the 9-yard line. Flags are thrown. The Browns and the Steelers, and Garrett just threw a punch. And Pittsburgh retaliating. Marquise Pouncey was kicking in there, and flags are flying with 8 seconds left. The Steelers are running from the sideline to join in, and this one is going to end in ugly fashion.
Absolute bedlam last night in Cleveland. They would get the victory, but man, oh man, they would lose the war in terms of how they looked optically. Welcome in to Gwen and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr. here. Chris Ello, we are here at Cathedral Catholic Dons. It's like our second home. I feel like they're up in a playoff game tonight against Carlsbad, the Lancers. Chris, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good, and you know what? Carlsbad's also here for the third or fourth year in a row. So
right.
When it comes to playoff time in the open division in San Diego, these two schools are going to be involved, and I know we were here last year for their matchup, and it's fun to be here again. But I'll tell you what, that game last night, Tony, I watched, you know me, I never watch a game live. I had the DVR. But I watched the first 59 minutes of the game on the DVR in about
3 minutes, five minutes?
10 minutes. Just fast-forwarding through because nothing was happening.
No.
And I didn't care about
Baker. It
wasn't that great of a game. I watched the last 8 seconds. It took me an hour and a half because I kept rewinding it. And, of course, you didn't need to rewind it because television showed it about 65 times. Even Joe Buck finally said, do we have to see the guy hitting him in the head with his helmet again? And then they flashed to another shot of it.
Of course they did.
From another angle. And I was amazed that Mason Rudolph's head was not caved in until I saw it finally about the fourth or fifth time. I noticed that he really hit him with the underneath part of the helmet, but it doesn't matter what part of the helmet he hit him with. It was an ugly, ugly situation. And the fines and suspensions came down today, and I think that the NFL was – I think they were upset.
Are they getting better at this finally?
Well, maybe. At least it seems like they got this one right on the at the get-go, not 100% right.
No,
I don't think 100% right.
I agree with you, but at least this is a starting point, right? Because going back to Kareem Hunt, in terms of the NFL.
Kareem Hunt got about an hour and a half suspension at first.
Right.
And then the next thing after everybody said, what are you doing?
Within
then he
hours.
Had about nine games.
Right. He got to spend the rest of the season.
But at first he had it for about an hour and a half.
Yes. And so this particular situation, I think in terms of Myles Garrett, they got it right.
Well, indefinite.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could go to the – it's going to definitely go to the end of this season.
No,
I don't think he'll play again this year.
I don't think so either.
The question is how far into next season is it going to go? And I think it has to go a few games into next season. I mean, this is one of those, quote, example situations where something has happened that has never really been seen before on a football field, at least – not on a Thursday night primetime game situation with all the media coverage we have now. So I think that they have to be very serious and very, very strong-handed in this suspension to Myles Garrett. The rest of the suspension seemed about right. Marquise Pouncey, hey, I'll take that guy on my team anytime. I mean, you're going to defend your quarterback. You got to defend your quarterback in a situation like that. It cost him a 3-game suspension, but that wouldn't bother me if I was the Steelers. The guy that I'm surprised got away scot-free in this whole thing, got a bump on his head, but he didn't get any suspension or any kind of fine, and that's Mason Rudolph.
Thank you.
Because I'm sorry, I believe he started the whole thing.
He started. Not only did he start the whole thing, not only did he start the whole thing, after getting his helmet yanked off and his teammates come into his defense moving Garrett away, what does he do? He initiates the second part of it.
Right. He chased after Myles Garrett.
With no helmet, mind you.
Right.
That's already, you're already losing points for that. I mean, you're going to attack not only a guy who's 275 pounds, who is also holding your helmet.
Who's also as mad as any human being has ever been on the face of the earth.
And you're going to attack him with no helmet on after you initiated the whole thing.
He really did initiate it. I mean, frankly, I mean, I remember watching the play live. I did catch the tackle by Myles Garrett, and it was a little excessive for 8 seconds left in the game after a little dump pass. I mean, he gave him the business a little bit and worked him hard to the ground. But Myles Garrett, I mean, you're quarterback, you're going to get tackled. I mean, unless you're Tom Brady and you're waiting for the referee to come over and help you off the field.
Right.
Then you just sit there and wait for the guy to get off you. You don't be grabbing his face mask and instigating Myles Garrett.
Now, that doesn't
excuse. Because he's a crazed human being at that point.
That doesn't excuse the helmet throw. Because, listen, once the helmet is ripped off, at that point, he would have, honestly, he would have been better off throwing a punch as opposed to swinging the helmet.
Yeah.
Once he swings the helmet, you're looking at, like, assault charges once you get to that point.
There is a precedence for that too.
There 100% is.
And the precedence goes to National Hockey League.
Yeah, I remember.
Marty McSorley one time was trying actually to engage another player in a fight. And in order to engage him in a fight, he wanted to hit him on the shoulder with his stick. Well, he missed his shoulder and hit him in the side of the head. Yeah. And knocked the guy out for a couple of weeks. And Marty McSorley, there were police charges filed against him. I always feel it's a slippery slope whenever you're going to bring the law situation like this. Mason Rudolph's attorney doesn't think so. They're taking a look at this tape, and they may file some charges against Myles Garrett.
I
kind of hope that all gets thrown out, to be honest with you.
I'm no lawyer, but I have a hard time seeing him explain the whole process of that going down in a court. Like, well, why was he so upset with you? Well,
right.
I tried to yank his helmet off his head, and then I chased him after he grabbed my helmet.
God knows what he was yelling and screaming at him as he was chasing after him, too. So Mason Rudolph did get out of this a little scot-free. And
the fines are going to be heavy for both organizations, though, I would assume.
$250,000.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a quarter of a mil right there for both organizations. That's no small potatoes.
Especially when you consider these guys play up against the cap room, like within that kind of money.
You want to also know what's the most bananas thing about this entire situation? The Steelers and Browns play again in 2 weeks.
But none of the guys who got suspended will be available except for...
No, Rudolph will be in the game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Rudolph will be in the game. And, I mean, I'll be honest with you. You know, if I get a chance to line him up, I mean...
In the league away, it's going to happen.
I mean, it's right. It's still the National Football League. And, I'm... There's part of me, too, Tony, that surprises doesn't happen more often in the NFL. I mean, it is a violent, violent 3 hours worth of time. And all you had to do was watch last night's game to understand that. Two Pittsburgh Steelers were knocked out of the game by helmet-to-helmet hits by Cleveland defensive backs. One guy was bleeding out of his ear, which was, I mean, scares the daylights out of you when you see that. Two or three other guys were dragged off on stretchers. I mean, this was not
this
for the faint
ugly,
of heart.
This is as ugly as football can get in a single game. And that's why I have such a hard time with the whole, charges actually outside of football.
That's right.
Because the game is already, it's a gladiator sport. And I can only I question the same thing you questioned. How does this happen more often? Guys get tackled like that all the time. There's roughhousing going on long after the whistle in many games.
And
almost
how many times have you heard the story? An offensive lineman will tell you back in the day, when I'd be under a pile, guy would grab a hold of my left knee and just try to wrench it out of place. And, I mean, things are going on that we don't even see.
Right. And we got all the camera angles in the world. We can't see some of this
stuff. And these guys are still able to get up, somehow pat each other on the backside and go back to work and play the next play. So I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often, but it was definitely ugly last night. It's all anybody's talking about today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Can we let's listen to some of the sound here real quick before we head to break. Here's Mason Rudolph on the event.
You know, I don't think so. I think it was relatively clean. Those things happen. And, you know, obviously I got to play better and give our guys a chance to win. Defense was playing great, getting the stops. And, you know, had a chance to kind of tie the game there a couple times. And those things happen. Hopefully, you know, we'll get Jew and James and Deontay back to as soon as possible.
Yeah,
that was him talking about the fact that he threw four picks. And he probably wasn't in a great mood to begin with. I mean, I think you got to look into that angle of it, too.
That's
I mean,
probably what led to him being frustrated that he was being tackled with 8 seconds.
If I threw four picks and then had some guy land on me at the end of the game and muscle me to the ground, I'm almost sure I'd probably grab his face mask, too, and be upset. But did you see also on the highlight of it the way Garrett, once he got up, and Rudolph was still on the ground, and Garrett picked him up by his face. It was like he was a Raggedy Ann doll.
He was a paperweight.
He picked him up like he weighed about 4 ounces. I'm like, my goodness, these human beings are strong.
Let's hear from Myles Garrett after the game.
It's going to come back to hurt our team. You know, the guys who jumped in the little scrum, I appreciate, you know, my team had my back, but it just never got to that point. That's on me.
Myles Garrett did release a statement today. He said, last night I made a terrible mistake. I lost my cool, and what I did was selfish and unacceptable. I know that we are all responsible for our actions. I can only prove my true character through my actions moving forward. I want to apologize to Mason Rudolph, my teammates, our entire organization, our fans, and to the NFL. I know I have to be accountable for what happened, learn from my mistakes, and I am fully tend to do so. That's kind of how it goes. I'm glad that he accepted full responsibility and understands the significance of what he did, but nevertheless, it was an ugly scene last night, and I'm sure NFL, when it seemed like they might be kind of getting out of the woods of having just terrible storylines that don't have anything to do with the game itself, they find themselves in this situation once again.
The only people that are happy about what happened last night are the people in Major League Baseball. Because it got the focus off the Astros for a few minutes. Hey, look, if you want to chime in on this, we're curious to hear what you have to say on the matter. I mean, what did I say?
Or you said jime or chime.
I said jime. Please chime in on this. And now Scraby's going to make a promo.
I was going to say, man, you're just creating new words over there.
Jime.
The number is 833-288-0973. Hit us up if you guys want to talk about it. We're going to step away, take a break. When we come back, we'll wait to see if you guys call. But if we don't call back, there's some more news on this Astros situation.
Yes, baseball is not in the clear yet.
No, it's not going away. This is Gwen and Chris.
So basically, did the NFL get it right with its suspensions and fines after the Steeler-Brown brawl last night? Should Mason Rudolph be suspended since he started the whole thing? 833-288-0973. Got a couple of phone lines open if you'd like to join us. It's Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris from Cathedral Catholic High School, getting set for tonight's high school playoff game between Cathedral and Carlsbad. By the way, Monday, at this exact time, Monday, we're going to be joined by Radio.com Sports NFL Insider and NFL legend,
Hall of Famer,
Michael Irvin. You know, I wasn't the biggest Michael Irvin fan when I watched him play, but I've become one of the biggest Michael Irvin fans since his playing days. I love listening to him, and I love watching him on TV.
I hated everything about the Cowboys, so I didn't like Michael Irvin.
You didn't like him either.
At all, but I respected his game. I mean, there's no doubt he was one of the best wide receivers before that
and
neck
he
injury.
Let you know about it.
he
will let us know about it all on Monday, talking NFL. I'm sure we'll talk about what happened last night as well. So Michael Irvin coming on the program Monday at this exact time. He'll be brought to you by the midsize Metris from Mercedes-Benz. That's on Monday. All right. And here's the thing with Mason Rudolph and why I don't want to totally let this thing go. Tony, I was joking around with you and Scraby between the thing, but if you were walking in the desert somewhere or on a safari and a lion came flying out of the woods and snatched the hat off your head, would you chase after the lion to get your hat back?
I think not.
No, I think I'd have to cough that one up as a lost hat.
I'm thankful that my head is still here.
And Mason Rudolph should have been happy his head was still there after Myles Garrett ripped his helmet off. But, hey, look, Myles Garrett is going to get his punishment. He deserves his punishment.
Yeah.
I think he's very look, what he said or what was written for him to say today or tweet out, I think was the absolute perfect response. And I'm done being mad at Myles Garrett, honestly. He messed up big time. There's no question. This isn't even worth discussing.
No.
But it is worth discussing whether, you know, Mason Rudolph should be kind of the choir boy in all of this, because he really, he got nothing. No slap on the wrist, no nothing. And, I mean, he went up there after the game and they talked to him about it. He goes, well, it was a very cowardly act, I thought, and this and that and the other. But, dude, you were the one that overreacted in the first place.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, it happens a lot, I guess, in any kind of fight, right? Whoever starts it, you know, it's like you light the match and then you run away and everything else blows up.
That kind of seems like where we are in our society. Something will be instigated.
Right.
The instigatee, I guess, gets punished. Probably a little over the line.
Right.
And we only pay attention to the person that did the bigger punishment. At the end of the day, that doesn't start if Mason Rudolph just gets up and moves on.
And I think
Sometimes that's okay. You're not a coward. You're not a punk because you didn't decide to do something to show your just. Turn
well,
the cheek, move on.
Look,
man.
Did Juju Smith-Schuster, after he got two helmet-to-helmet hits on one play, he went up for a pass, he got hit on one side of his head with a helmet, and then on the other side of his head with his helmet, knocked basically unconscious, that's why, probably. But once he got conscious and got up, did he go running after the Cleveland Brown players who hit him?
No.
You know, I mean, it's football. I mean, these things happen. One of the Cleveland defensive backs who hit Smith-Schuster actually went over and apologized to Mike Tomlin while they were tending to Smith-Schuster on the ground. I mean, these guys all understand what they're involved in, and
the thing is,
I think Mason Rudolph lost sight of what that was.
Chris, I watch football every Sunday, and I watch a guy get tackled. I watch the tackler put his hand on his face mask to use it to get up.
That's right.
And 99% of the time, the guy who has his face being pushed into the ground does nothing but get up, walk back. And I remember even watching as a teenager, like, I can't believe he's not doing anything about that.
I know. You're mad as a fan.
Right.
Like, do something. Hit him back.
But it's just like, this is why they have to do it that way, because if not,
this kind of thing would break out all the time.
All the time.
This would break out all the time, and that's why Mason Rudolph, I think, should not be getting away scot-free here. But anyway, if you have some thoughts on that, give us a call, and we'll talk a little bit more about it as we go along. Of course, we got Chris versus the fans coming up in about 15, 20 minutes, so you can get on the phones for that as well. And it's going to be a big game, big day. Brian Billick from the NFL Network is going to join us. You know, there's a couple things about Brian Billick. One, he used to be a...
we've had him on before, too.
Yes, and he used to be a coach at San Diego State.
Yes.
That's where he... I don't know if he began his career, but part of his ascent to the National Football League was at San Diego State. But, you know, he was one of the first offensive coordinators to coach a great running quarterback.
Yeah.
Because he was in charge of that Minnesota Viking team that had Randall Cunningham.
Yeah.
I wonder what Ryan Billick would do with these guys as the way they're playing today. Right, so we'll talk.
He was
about
innovative
that.
Too for when he
yes,
was,
he was.
When he was a coordinator and became a head coach for the Ravens. But
yes, he was.
We'll have him here next.
All right, so he's coming up. Ryan Billick, stick around for that. Stick around for Chris versus the fans. Stick around for the next 3.5 hours, right up until kickoff, 7 o'clock here at Cathedral Catholic High School tonight. The Dons hosting the Carlsbad Lancers. We are proud to be part of High School Friday, and proud that you are a part of our show. Gwynn and Chris, the number one sports station in San Diego, 97.3 The Fan.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
3:33, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Just spent the first 30 minutes of the show talking about the craziness of the Browns and Steelers last night. And, you know, what better person to really talk about this with than our next guest, Brian Billick.
And he's probably wondering why you think he's the perfect guy to talk about it.
NFL Network analyst Brian Billick joins us. Brian, how are you doing today? Thanks for joining the show.
How you doing, guys? Yeah, I'm a little interested in why I'm the perfect guy as well. I'm with you on that.
Only because you've been on that field before. You know how the intensity is from time to time. What was your thoughts as you watched that thing unfold last night?
It was regrettable. It really was, particularly when the game was in the state that it was. I mean, it was done. And to let the emotions get the better of you, it's unexcusable. And you can tell even by the reaction of the other Browns players. They want to support Myles Garrett, and yes, it is an emotional game. But you can't let that overcome you the way it did. And it's going to cost them big time.
Brian, you coached one of the greatest linebackers in the history of the game. And it's for my money, a guy who brought it as hard as anybody ever has brought it to the game, Ray Lewis in Baltimore. And Tony and I were talking, like, how does this not happen more often in the NFL? How do guys beat the heck out of each other for 3 hours and not lose their cool more often? Because that is almost partly the amazing thing to me.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right, and because it is so emotional and it is so competitive. But it's amazing. You're right. Even in the most heated of rivalries, and of course, Baltimore and Pittsburgh was maybe one of the most intense physical rivalries that exist in the NFL. And trash talking during the week and during the game, it's back and forth. But then you watch immediately after the game's over, you watch these guys come together, give each other a hug, kneel down and pray together. It is amazing that they can make that transition, which makes what happened with Myles Garrett even that much more regrettable.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's switch topics a little bit, talk about the Ravens. What are your thoughts on this Ravens team? It's a little different from the team you won a Super Bowl with, but nevertheless, it's an exciting team to watch.
It is, and Lamar Jackson, what a dynamic player, and like nothing we've ever seen before. I saw this the other day. How about this? It was either the first 14 or 15 games. But in Lamar Jackson's first 14 games, he's run for more yards than LaDainian Tomlinson. He's completed more passes than Tom Brady. He's got a better completion percentage than Drew Brees. Now, that's pretty spectacular. And what this guy does we've just never seen it before. The question becomes, as everybody is asking, is can you expose your quarterback to better than 220, 230 hits during the course of the season and get through the entire season? If he can, and right now he obviously shows a real ability to kind of avoid the big hit, kind of protect himself. And the good thing is, it's not like he's looking to run.
Right.
He wants to throw the ball down the field. But obviously on a called run or when the opportunity presents itself, he'll go ahead and pull it down. And if he can stay healthy, wow, the numbers he's put together are spectacular.
Brian Billick from the NFL Network, former Super Bowl winning coach, obviously the Baltimore Ravens. But we also like to remind people around here that he coached at San Diego
State
in the day. Hey, Brian, you know, to me, you were one of the original coaches as an offensive coordinator who worked with a running quarterback because you had that great Minnesota Viking team that went 15-1 with Randall Cunningham. And I'm just curious if what you coached then, how amazingly well would it work now with guys like Lamar Jackson, guys like Deshaun Watson, guys like Kyler Murray coming into the league? And I mean, these players, all these quarterbacks are better athletes than they've ever been before.
Yeah, and it's an interesting transition to see if indeed whether that style of play, again, as we said, you know, and everybody in the league's gonna go, okay, great, yeah, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna go do what Baltimore did. Well, yeah, go find you another Lamar Jackson. And I don't like that walking around, right? And when I had Randall Cunningham, the interesting thing was Randall, of course, was a spectacular athlete, a spectacular runner. But he was at the point in his career where he really, really wanted to prove that he could be a pocket quarterback. And it was amazing to watch because halfway, you know, it wasn't until halfway through the season, you know, people were spying and doing the things you normally do against an athletic quarterback. And it wasn't until about halfway through the season that people finally figured out, okay, this guy's not going to run.
Yeah.
So then, and we were throwing the ball so well, they got so passive, we actually had to tell Randall at some point, you know, if you want to pull the ball down and run occasionally, that's okay too.
Brian, what kind of you mentioned Lamar Jackson and trying to keep him from sustaining those big hits. What type of issues are presented as you get deeper into the playoffs, keeping him from getting those big hits? Because it seems like when teams are able to focus in on an offense, they tend to be better prepared. What kind of issues pop up late as you get deeper into the playoffs when you have a running quarterback like Lamar Jackson?
Well, the fact that you're playing better teams, likely, and that's the big thing. Because here's the hard thing, and he seems to know how to protect himself and kind of glide through and spin out a hit and get to this side or that side, but it's the hits you don't see, right? He's got the perfect mentor in RG3, who is their backup. And if you remember what a spectacular first year he had, not quite at the level Lamar Jackson was doing running the ball, but spectacular first year. And then in the second year, coincidentally enough, against the Baltimore Ravens and Haloti Ngata, they got a hit on Lamar Jackson, completely legal, but he didn't see it coming. And obviously changed the trajectory for his career and where he's at. So that's the thing with Lamar. And you know what? The Ravens deserve a lot of credit because they're all in. They know that. They know there's the vulnerability. But it's, look, this is what this guy does. We're going to ride it for as long as it holds up, and we're not going to worry about it. We're not going to play afraid. So, you know, if he's going to carry the ball better than 200 times, so be it.
Brian Billick joins us on the NFL from the NFL Network. Real quick, Brian, before we let you go, and thanks so much for the time. Great talking football with you. We're talking about great quarterbacks, and I just want to – you're talking about guys not getting injured. And Tom Brady keeps talking about he might play another 4 or 5 years, 44, 45. I mean, he's 42 now. But talking about a way somehow managing to avoid ever getting hit and being able to play at this stage and at the level that he plays at, what do you think of when you watch Tom Brady in action at this point in his career? Because I mean, you've been around some of the great ones, but you've never been around a great one at this age.
Yeah, no, nobody has. I mean,
right,
and that's
right.
The thing. You think about it with Tom Brady and the way he's being able to, one, obviously his training regimen, everything about him is just so spectacular. I think back, because, you know, I was in the league when Tom Brady came into the league. And you go back, and I remember Tom Brady. You talk about a less assuming, you know, we get these big giant books on all the players where they stand, you know, they get their physicals and you have all these pictures of them. And if you go back and you look at the pictures of Tom Brady and they're there in shorts, you know, and you're going, this guy not only does not belong in the NFL, he probably should be in a hospital because this is the scrawniest looking dude. You know, you're thinking how, you know, but so obviously his training regimen is like none other in terms of what he's developed. But the thing that jumps out at you about Tom Brady and how he's able to take care of himself is he has such incredible institutional knowledge of the game. What on a football field has Tom Brady not seen? So he can, the speed with which he can read a defense, size up a situation, realize he's vulnerable and going, okay, this isn't going to happen. You know, so I'll dump the ball off or I'll take a sack, I'll throw the ball away. He's not going to sit there and hold on to the ball waiting for something to happen that he knows isn't going to happen. And when he sees a certain defense and he knows he's got the right player in the right place, he gets the ball to him so instantaneously, it's hard to get to him.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I got one more for you, Brian, before we let you get out here. We certainly appreciate your time. Colin Kaepernick seems like this workout kind of came out of the blue. And he's going to get an opportunity. It seems like there's going to be 24, 22 teams that show up for the workout. What's your take on the fact that, you know, usually on Saturdays, GMs and head coaches are headed to their particular games?
Well, it's great that he's going to get the opportunity. My inclination is that the league basically said, okay, we're going to make this happen just to take it the next step. So, right. No one can accuse us of trying to shut a player out. And I'm betting under, you know, back channels, the league basically told every team, look, y'all better be there. I don't care who you send,
right?
But somebody better be there, okay? And frankly, I don't know that it'll happen this year. But, you know, just talking about a Lamar Jackson, certainly he's not quite that level, but he has some similar attributes that you could look at a team. You could maybe very well see a team go, you know what, maybe we'll go down that path. Maybe we'll put an offense together that will allow him to use, and obviously he's got some great skills in that regard, and maybe we'll wrap. Because that's, at the end of the day, the key is, and you have to give the Ravens credit for it, it's not just using Lamar Jackson and saying, okay, we're going to take a chance on a guy. They were all in.
Yeah, they
and
were.
Everything they do is wrapped around that. So if you go with a Colin Kaepernick, or you draft one of these young college quarterbacks that has similar, you know, maybe not as accomplished in the pocket, but has great athletic skill, if you're going to get out of it what the Ravens got out of it, then you're going to have to go all in and wrap everything about your offense about it.
Ryan, that's great stuff. Real quick, are you going to get to watch the Aztecs tonight on television?
Yeah, I'm going to try to. They're doing pretty good, aren't they?
Fun to watch 7-2.
Rocky Long's doing with the Aztecs. How about that?
Doing all right.
You know, I'm on the East Coast, so it gets a little tougher because it gets a little
late. Oh, my goodness. The games come on at midnight.
yeah. But right. I'm happy to see them doing so well.
Hey, Brian, thanks so much for the time. We loved it.
All right, guys.
Take care, Brian. That was Brian Billick, NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Coach Billick. All right. We got a few lines open for a Chris versus the fans. Get your phone calls in, 833-288-0973. See if you can dethrone. Oh, no, you didn't win yesterday, did he? Somebody else won yesterday.
I can't remember.
It took a little bit. It took a little bit of time. Nevertheless, you got an opportunity to win a family four-pack of movie passes to San Diego's Hometown Theater, Ultra Star Cinema in Mission Valley. All right, let's we ready for this?
Yeah.
All right, let's get to it. Chris versus the fan.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Scraby, can we get the rules?
Before
please?
He gives the rules, can I just take a moment here?
Yeah, take a moment, please.
I'm going to take a moment and thanks, Scraby.
Oh, wow.
For putting the effort in to put all of these questions together every single day. Honestly, we have fun with him. We goof around. We joke around. We go, you didn't get this right. You didn't get that right. I'm a trivia crazy guy. I don't know if I could come up with 20 trivia questions every single day. And Scraby does that. So
he doesn't just do that either. And you're right. We spend most of our show getting on his head about different things, but Scraby is a fantastic producer. He helps put this show in and makes it the way it is.
Wow.
So that you guys can listen
Thanks
to it.
Thanks so much. I have a tear.
Wow. All right, that's enough of that. That's enough of that.
Yeah, all right.
Let's get back to the regular
stuff. Sorry,
everybody.
It was a moment of weakness.
All right. The rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets that same question right, you are eliminated. But if he gets it wrong, you have a chance to move on to the next question, or you can win.
All right, Ron in San Diego, let's get to it. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Friday.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Ron.
All right, here we go. First question. What is the area behind the end zone at Raiders home games called?
That's the black hole.
That is indeed the black hole.
You don't need to sound offended, Ron.
Yeah, he liked that one. He got it.
On to question number two. What term is used in describing a situation where a golfer scores an 8 on a hole?
I've gotten many of these.
I want the term I use, but then you got to turn your radio off.
Good point.
That's your term then.
Call it a snowman, I call it.
Yeah,
very nice.
Snowman
nice
job.
Is the correct answer.
Ron's a
player. Snowman indeed.
All right, Ron, here we go for the family four-pack of tickets to the
All of us
Ultra Star Movie
you
Cinema.
You know what's really embarrassing is when you get a snowman and you're not even up at the green yet.
Yeah, that's
like
rough.
You have
that's
to pick
usually
up
my
ball.
Game. Yeah.
You have to pick up the ball and move on.
You throw it up there is what you end up doing. All right, here we go. Question number three. Between 1947 and 2017, who was the only NBA player to record a 30-assist game? I have a feeling Chris is going to know
this
one. I
know, his face just turned.
Cool. Oh, 30-assist game? Wow, that's going to be a tough one for me. I'd go back to the snowman on that one.
Snowman, you're going to take a snowman?
Snowman is
incorrect.
Might
as well guess somebody.
You know what? I will guess Havlicek.
Havlicek steals the ball. That is incorrect.
That is incorrect. And unfortunately, the guy who holds this record did spend some time as head coach
That's
of the Chicago
you know.
Bulls.
That's why
Otherwise,
you know.
I probably wouldn't know it. Scott Skiles.
Did it with the Orlando Magic.
30 assists in one game. He's the only guy ever to do it.
Wow.
And I don't, you know, there's a couple of things on that. One, maybe I'd have to go back and look. Was that a home game?
It was a home game.
Because assists are sometimes, you know.
There was about four or five questionable.
That's
watch the game.
That's my point. Is he had a very lucky hometown scorekeeper that night because it's hard to believe that he's the only guy ever to do that in a game.
Right.
You know, I mean, when you got the Magic Johnsons and the Stocktons
right.
and the people like that out there playing. So, but Scott Skiles has a record, and it's been held for a long time.
All right, Ron, thank you for competing, man. Sorry you didn't win those tickets. Let's move to the next contestant, Joey in Lakeside. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Friday.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble it is. Here we go. First question. What professional sport did Pat Mahomes?
What?
Baseball.
Yes.
Very good.
Pat Mahomes is his dad, isn't it?
Yeah.
What professional sport did Pat Mahomes' father play?
Oh, I mean, it's the same thing.
But I just gave him the answer.
It's the same thing.
All right, here we go. Question number
two. He got it. He's all right. It's a one-pointer.
Wow. Thomas.
What was the previous name of the NFL before it was changed to the National Football League?
Oh, man, I hear that on your little promos all the time, but I can't remember. I don't know.
You're good, Tom. You're good. I don't even know either. The National Association of Football Professionals?
That was not correct. It was somewhat like that.
Oh, what?
The answer is the American Professional Football Association.
Okay.
So
yeah, that was a long time. That was even before my time, Scraby. If you can believe there was stuff that happened before my time.
All right, Joey, you're on to the third. You're on your way to the third round here for the family four-pack of tickets to the Ultra Star Cinema. Here we go. Question number three. Fun-loving NBA personality Shaquille O'Neal is actually a doctor. In what field did he earn his doctorate?
I think he's a cop, so I'm going to go criminal justice.
Criminal justice is incorrect.
Nice guess, though.
Christopher, for the steal.
Psychology
is also incorrect.
Wow.
Joey, you find yourself a four pack of tickets. The answer?
We love Scraby. We love Scraby.
The answer is education.
Good for Shaq.
Shaq Diesel.
God, he is.
By the way, I have enjoyed listening to
him. How has he done all of the things that he has done in his life?
He's a platinum selling rapper.
Rapper, right? He was one of the first guys to be an athlete to be a platinum selling rapper.
He's an actor.
He's funny when he's an actor, and he's even done some serious roles. But his performance on Curb Your Enthusiasm, when Larry David tripped him up
that was awesome.
And took him out for the season. Still one of my all-time favorites.
He's a TV show host now.
Yeah.
Because him and Charles and Kenny are possibly the funniest live TV
they
you'll
are see. The best by a mile. I don't think there's any pre- or post-game show that's close to them.
I wish I could post the last incident that I saw, but it would
the
be
the wrestling one?
No, that one was funny, too.
That one was
a
great.
Couple
oh, there
days
was another
later,
one?
There was another one. Chuck,
oh, okay.
Chuck was doing something that looked weird, and Shaq was telling him to do it again. Kenny had to tell him to stop. It was quite hilarious. So.
Man, that show's great.
Anyway, Shaq is the answer to that. We got a few minutes left. I'm going to tease a little bit more about this Astros situation because,
yeah.
Ironically, one of the things that's happening as this story came out, the GMs happen to be all in the same place at the same time.
GM meetings.
GM
huh?
meetings. So, Bob
Nightingale. Does that mean the Astros GM had to go sit in another room?
Well, let's just say the conversation was predominantly about him.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it wasn't really something he wanted to talk about.
I wouldn't think so. No. So, I know that he was quoted as saying, hey, we're going to get to the bottom of this
yeah,
and
sure
find out
will.
The truth. I'm pretty sure you should be able to find out the truth because I'm pretty sure you already know it, to be honest with you. But, you know, we're going to have the baseball
winter meetings yeah.
coming here to San Diego in a couple of months, Tony. I mean, I don't know how we're going to get around not asking pretty much everybody we talk to at least one question about this. I mean, hopefully it's settled by then, but if it is settled by then, it's not going to be a pretty sight.
If it's settled by then, that means people will be able to talk about it. Because right now, even in Bob Nightingale's article, which we'll get into here in the following segment, even in his article, they're all anonymous, like National League GMs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're not allowed to talk about it because Major League Baseball is now involved in this investigation. And I can tell you, just as a preview to this next segment, almost all 30 teams, 29 teams, are looking for Major League Baseball to come down and come down heavy.
I will say that, A, all 29 teams should hope for that, but, B, all 29 teams better not be doing something similar.
Because funny how that kind of works out, right?
It would look pretty bad if you're jumping up and down and saying, hey, let's bury the Astros, and then somebody finds out that, you know, another team was doing it.
You got to find a happy medium, right? Like, you can't, if you are doing something, you can't be too critical, but you can't be too quiet either, because then everybody starts
right. If you don't say anything, you're like the kid stole the cookies. It's
right.
Like, who stole the cookies?
No doubt about it. We're here at Cathedral High getting ready for the Dons and Lancers to play in their playoff game, a number one team in San Diego versus a number three team in San Diego.
These two teams have played in the playoffs, I think, 3 or 4 years in a row. I was trying to get a little background from Braden Sabrenant the other day, who's going to call the game. And last year, I know we were here for the Cathedral Carlsbad game, and Cathedral won that one. But Braden was telling me the Cathedral starting quarterback's out. So
really?
They're going with a backup. And you know their backup at Cathedral is the son of former NFL quarterback Rick Meyer.
Isn't that
so
something?
So he apparently is planked. And this is according to Braden Suprenant. I don't.
Who if anybody
right.
knows this kind of stuff.
If anybody knows, it would be him. Yeah. But I'm speaking off the top of my head here. But I believe it is going to be Rick Meyer's son who starts tonight's game for Cathedral against Carlsbad. And it's a great game. The other side is St. Augustine and Helix in the other open division
we
semifinal.
We saw Helix, yeah.
That is some kind of matchup, too. So good luck to all four teams.
Indeed. Stay tuned. We've got more Gwen and Chris on the way. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.